Hello, this is Sharon Steitler, the bird chick, and I am here with non-birding Bill.
Hello.
And it is our goal to podcast.
We'll see how we do tonight. I had a tiring day.
I know, we had a tiring weekend.
Yeah. I don't think we should describe it, otherwise we'll get absolutely no sympathy from anyone, because it was a very fun weekend. Just tiring.
Well, we worked the Minnesota State Fair. That was a lot of work. Yeah. That was sweaty work. I was out there rangering the heck out of the state fair. What were you doing?
I was volunteering with a local, it's called Common Table in Minnesota. I think they have them in different states, but basically it's trying to get people to eat local, compost, know where their food comes. It's basically responsible eating, responsible recycling, things like that.
When did you become this responsible guy?
I didn't. I was helping a friend of mine who works with this group, and she was looking for volunteers. So she sent me an email, and B, she was offering a free ticket to the state fair, which is, to be honest, was the primary reason I did it.
That's the reason why anyone works a booth at the state fair is a free ticket.
And it's just, you know, and it was basically just, you know, walking around this display and talking to people about eating, you know, local eating and responsible, you know, food health and, you know, soil health and stuff, things that I am mildly interested in, so it's, you know.
I like working my booth. I work for the National Park Service because I am a park ranger.
When did this happen? I hadn't heard this.
I know. No one seems to know. I've been a park ranger since 2008. But,
what?
I know, right?
I thought you just enjoyed dressing up. I thought you were cosplaying.
Cosplaying a ranger? Yeah. No, I would not wear those pants for cosplay. I would only wear those pants for money. Oh. They are that uncomfortable. Oh, that sounded worse than it is.
It always does, baby.
But no, I miss. I used to work the Minnesota Ornithologist Union booth, which was basically ask us about birds. And I mean, people ask
basically
me about birds.
Ask us where the bathroom is.
At that, and what time is the bird show?
Right.
But I mean, you would get fun questions like, "I have something that looks like a reverse turkey vulture," or they were telling me this year there was
a reverse turkey vulture.
Yeah, what would you think of that?
So the tail is on the head, and the head is on the tail, and it's inside out.
I knew what it was as soon as they told me they had a reverse vulture. Reverse turkey vulture.
Let's see. Okay, so reverse, that would mean the head is covered, but the body is exposed?
Kind of.
Okay.
But no, the head is bald, but the colors are backwards.
Oh, then I don't know.
So a regular turkey vulture, and this is appropriate to talk about since September 5th was Vulture Awareness Day.
Sure.
So a turkey vulture is kind of blackish brown on back, has a red head, is bald.
Mm-hmm.
So when this person said this to me, I immediately thought, oh, it has a black head and red body. It's a bald cardinal.
Oh.
Which is apropos to talk about right now, because somebody out there is going to send me a picture and wonder what the heck it is this thing is in their backyard. It looks like a Tim Burton bird.
Sure.
But cardinals, for whatever reason, lose all their feathers this time of year. Yep. I have heard numerous things. I shouldn't say numerous. The two main theories are that it could be feather mites, which normally birds would preen, but you cannot preen the feathers on your head because your beak is attached to your head, and that's what you preen with.
Sure.
To that, it's just a natural molting pattern with some cardinals. Okay. But it is something you see this time of year. And
I've seen those before.
Well, and when we were banding birds...
But it would never in 100 years occur to me to call it. And I guess that says something about the fact that, for me, it's a matter of size, is that I would never describe... I would never compare a cardinal and a turkey vulture because they're so completely different in...
You know... This is a skill that I have learned both through the blog, working at the bird store, and just working with the public in general. The way people see birds is completely different than the way I see birds. And so when someone is asking me a question about a bird, if I take what they say literally, I will never figure out what they have. And so I just have to kind of get through a conversation with someone and assume that they have no idea if this bird is the size of a crow or the size of a robin.
I can see that.
And I mean, it's like our good friend Mary Jo the other day, like, panicked on my wall because her neighbor told her that they saw a bald eagle sitting on their fence in North Minneapolis.
Right.
Which isn't out of the realm of possibility, but not likely. And that her 17-pound dog Seymour was, in danger. And I'm like, no. Seymour is fine. Your neighbor probably saw a red-tailed hawk, because the number of people that think red-tailed hawks are young bald eagles is... I know you're listening to this podcast, and you're thinking, no one would mistake that.
Obviously, I've picked up a lot of this through osmosis, just knowing you, but I still think, like, a cardinal and a you could not possibly confuse those two, but, like, I guess it's a sense of scale, since most people have not seen these birds, and there's not really something that they... can compare it to. Like confusing a juvenile bald eagle with a red tail makes more sense to me.
Okay.
Because they're both, I mean, they're in sort of the same size class, and if you have never seen these birds before, except if you're like flying, you don't really have a sense of scale for them. Whereas to me, a turkey vulture is huge and a cardinal is tiny, and I would never make
what,
that
what
mistake.
I try to do is I try to focus on what made them call this bird a vulture.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the key thing about a vulture that non-birders notice? It's the fact that they're bald.
Mm.
So to me, when someone said that they had a backwards turkey vulture, the first thing I thought of, they saw something that had no feathers on its head.
Sure.
What would, and then, you know, just, I know what color.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like when I was volunteering, and I'm by no means an expert. I mean, I know a few things about local eating and why, you know, soil health and why you should be concerned about this and why da 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 da. But then people would ask, very well-meaning people would ask, you know, really bizarre questions to me, like, I live near a co-op, is it any good? It's like,
which co-op?
I don't know. He's like, he lived in like one of the outer ring suburbs. Like,
oh, okay.
I don't know. And he's like asking us, should I go to this? I was like, Yeah, go check it out and see if you like it. I mean, you know, it's like, it just seemed very, very, very strange to me.
I have to admit that the whole realm, I don't 100% mm-hmm. understand the co-op concept.
Sure.
We had a co-op in our old neighborhood. I didn't like going to it because I thought their parking lot sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah, I mean, it's just I don't want to get into this, you know, whole thing.
But I mean, it's not part of your culture. It's like, in a co-op, am I like going to have to sign up for something?
Yeah,
am I going to be part of a cult?
You are essentially a shareholder or a stakeholder in, it's a cooperative.
Yeah.
It's not owned by a larger company. It's owned by the people who shop there, in theory. So it's their, that's who they're responsible to, is to give them the best produce at the best prices. But to me, it was just like, you know, getting better food is my primary concern. You know, mm-hmm. better tasting and, you know, I guess better tasting. So, because it was very strange. Well, I mean, in fairness, we were in the agriculture/horticulture building, and I think the people just assumed that we were all experts on everything. Like, people were asking us, like, garden, like, to identify plants that they had in their garden. And I was like, there are gardening experts right over there who will answer that for you. And I'm sure they will be more than happy to answer that. One person asked this question about berries, and I was like, so I just asked Siri on my phone, and it turned out she had a variety of deadly nightshade growing in the garden. I was like, I said, oh, she looked at pictures. Oh, yeah, that's totally what I have. It's like, okay, that's fine. Ask a real gardener rather than some guy with an iPhone.
Yeah.
Before.
Well, you know, we get those kinds of questions at the Park Service. And my boss affectionately refers to some of these questions as Stump the Ranger.
Sure.
And I call it the crazy old man question. Because it's generally someone who took a different career path, had a general interest in being a ranger or a biologist, mm-hmm. didn't have that. So as soon as they see one that has that position, they want to ask you the most bizarre question ever and expect it. Like, one of my favorites is, like, what's the pH of the Mississippi River right now outside the building? It's like, I didn't test it this morning. I don't know. And I'm the birding ranger, not the pH ranger.
No, I didn't get the sense that people were trying to stump us. It just that they had the most the weird questions that they had saved up.
Okay. So anyway, how did we get here? We were talking about how tired we are. Yeah, the state fair was great. No, the question that I heard that I'm really sad I missed at the Minnesota Ornithologist Union booth was, a guy came in and he wanted to know what could be done about his eagle problem. They said, what problem with eagles are you having? My friend's like, where they're killing my colts.
Colts?
Yes.
Young horses?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, that's giving very carefully crafted answers of like, something else killed those colts, you know?
Yeah, and maybe the eagles were eating the carcasses.
Yeah, which is the thing. I mean, it's not to say like with certain animals, but a colt is not something.
No.
An eagle's gonna do. And the guy's like, no. And so finally, you know, he's not accepting the answers of all the reasons why a bald eagle would not kill a colt, but definitely was gonna kill the placenta. Would eat like the placenta, or if the colt died and you know, was eaten by coyotes or something like that, they would be eating that. And they said, well, why don't you just talk to the Minnesota DNR? I did, and they gave me the same answer you're giving me. So he's just basically going around to all these experts saying, yeah, it's probably not. We would have to see video documented evidence of a live colt and then an eagle on it. And then but anyway.
That's, wow. I don't know what else to tell you.
There are some things when people just say that. Well, that's like the DNR baby story. I think we've covered it on here before. About, you know, the woman was doing laundry.
Oh, yeah, the state.
Steps inside for a few minutes, comes out, her four-month-old is missing.
The government paid her off $1 million so she wouldn't report that an eagle ate her baby.
Yeah, because, like, some DNR banders went to a bald eagle nest, and they found the baby's diaper or blanket, depending on which version of the story you hear, you know, in the nest. And so the DNR is paying this lady all this money. And it's like,
we've definitely talked about that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the stories just won't die.
Yeah.
Okay, so... somebody, more than one person, I'm just going to say Evan here is the latest one, has wondered if I have seen a story that I have not been bringing up on the podcast because...
It's about a baby that was taken off by an eagle and you've been paid off by the government.
It's one of those things, like last time we talked about how kelp gulls were the worst. I almost feel like we should have a podcast or a segment of like, birds are the worst. Every bird species has a dark side.
Okay, let's just get this. I really don't enjoy talking about this.
I didn't enjoy the story. I'm just gonna, I just have to preface this. I didn't enjoy the story. I didn't want to think about it. I don't even think I've linked it on my Facebook page because it's so awful.
Just get it over with.
So Eleanor's falcons.
Okay.
It is a type of falcon. Oh, crap. I think we have a portrait of one from Frank Taylor on our wall. We have to take it down. I don't know. So, some people have been researching Eleanor's falcons, and they have found this odd behavior that a certain part of the population engages in, where they will grab a bird, like a chiffchaff, or a whitethroat. These are small birds over in Europe. And they're doing this in Morocco, and they will capture the bird live, they will pluck out the tail feathers and the wing feathers, and then cache these birds in crevices in their territory, and just save them as fresh food.
Okay.
And the birds are saying, and so researchers have these pictures of the birds either without their wing feathers or just kind of hanging out inside a cache. And it's so disturbing. I mean,
right.
I could kind of justify the kelp gulls because it's like, you know, okay, they ate eyeballs, they wanted eyeballs, and the seal just happened to die from the eyeballs. This is like, these birds are alive for a few days.
Sure.
Falcons are the worst.
Great. Thanks for sharing that story. What's the next one?
Okay. Anyway, it's a horrible story. All birds are the worst. If you're British, please don't send me an email about how I'm, like, perpetuating the bad things about birds because birds do bad shit. I'm really sorry that there are some people over there persecuting your raptors and persecuting your gulls.
Sure.
We have that over here in the U.S., we cannot hide the fact that birds do some really unpleasant things. Birds are dicks sometimes. Are we allowed to say dick anymore?
You and I certainly am.
I just feel like, are we supposed to get away from gender-specific put-downs?
Oh, fuck off. I don't even care.
Some people care.
Well, they're not in this relationship.
All right, all I'm just saying... Eleanor's falcons.
Sure. All right, next story, please.
Okay, so we briefly mentioned how it was World Vulture Day, and then not to be outdone, apparently September 6th, which is the day we're recording this podcast, was the World Shorebird Day. Okay, here, everybody...
I know, you couldn't get around with all the parades that were going on.
I just want to say, everybody, if you're going to come up with the name of something, maybe leave the word world out of it. It's just...
World Shorebird.
World Shorebird Day.
World Shorebird.
It's like World Girl Birders. Oh my goodness, there was a scandal on that page.
All right.
I feel like I need to give this advice out.
I'm just
going to
make a note here that we were talking about shorebirds so that when you say, how did we get here, I can remind you what you initially wanted to talk about.
It's not even shorebirds. I want to get back to World Vulture or Vulture Awareness Day.
Okay.
That is the main thing. But I feel I need to give this advice on World Girl Birders.
We'll get back.
Because some adult material showed up on World Girl Birders last night. All right. Some very graphic. It wasn't even garden variety porn.
Sure.
It's like horse porn.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so clearly someone's account had been hacked. And the person whose
maybe
account had been hacked was like, I don't understand why this is showing up. I didn't post this. And someone's like, your account's been hacked. I don't know what's going on. It's like, oh, hey, maybe shut down your account for a little bit
and set
a new password, you know, and maybe delete this while you can. So meanwhile, people are commenting on the thread, which is how I became aware of the thread, was because people were commenting, because all of a sudden it's like, there's a naked lady and a horse showing up in my newsfeed. And so people are like, moderators, will you do something? And then they start tagging the moderators. And the moderators have lives. They're all doing something on a Friday night. But meanwhile, so finally, I just did a separate post. I was like, hey.
Oh, my God.
This is a public group. maybe don't leave a comment on the porn post because it's going to show up in your news feed.
Oh, God.
And then someone who is part of a very prevalent birding organization said, wait, what? So I had, and I said, this is one of the reasons why it would be good for World Girl Birders. Which is just a hard name to say five times fast. This is a good reason. This is why when you want to join a birding group, it says closed group. It's because when a group is public, if you post on it, if you leave a comment on
anybody
it,
anybody can see what you're talking about.
It will show up in your newsfeed. So if your friends have you as someone that you follow, if you leave a, let's say that you're part of some kind of
horse porn group,
or some kind of strange political group,
right?
Like horse horse porn for president.
Sure.
If you leave a comment and that's a public group, anyone who follows you will suddenly be see this comment that you made of like, well, I thought that horse penis was inaccurate. They will see that.
Right.
And the picture
that should be the title of this episode, by the way, horse porn for president.
All right, I'll make a note of that. Yeah. So, everyone was like, oh no. But I mean, the horse porn stayed up for a long, long time. So hopefully World Girl Birders will now be a closed group. I understand why it's public, but you just cannot do that on Facebook anymore.
This is one of my favorite things about the internet, too, other than horse porn. I mean, obviously, I'm a big fan of that.
I'm more into goat.
and yet we make our marriage work. is that people who, like, anytime something is trending that's like, any in any way political or something or like religious or anything like that, is you always go to see, like, if you click to see why it's trending, it's like people, it's like, let's say the it was like hashtag don't celebrate Christmas, you know, was trending. You click on it, it's always people who are saying, why is hashtag don't celebrate Christmas? We need to make sure it doesn't, I agree, don't celebrate Christmas should not be trending. It's like, you idiots, you're making it trend.
You're helping it trend, yeah. So don't use the hashtag.
And I've completely forgotten the other thing I wanted to...
Was it horse porn?
Well, I don't think so. I think I've said everything I need to say about
Anyway, so if you were on a group where...
Oh, no, I have to remember what it was now. I'm a member of a group that periodically gets... it's a closed group, but they periodically get spam members who post to it, and it's just like Ray-Ban sunglasses. And the group at this point is just so... inoculated to this that we just start posting like how like subpar, like we rate the quality of the spam post. It's like, you didn't include a photo, what the hell kind of, what do you think, we're rubes, we're gonna buy your 90% discount sunglasses, dad love them by now, that's crazy. My favorite one is the ones that are the they try to be like the fake clickbait ones. It's like six signs of skin cancer you need to know now, and for a while it was always a picture of a tongue for some reason.
Cancer porn.
Yeah. So we were going to talk about World Vulture Awareness Day.
Okay. So there's another controversy that happened that does not involve horse porn.
I don't want to talk about any stories that don't involve horse porn in the future.
Okay. So I started seeing on a couple of birding pages, whatever day this was last week. Why are you laughing?
Just the idea that we're just going to talk about horse porn for the rest of the time. Like some parent driving their kids to school. Yeah, let's put in the Bird Chick podcast. We'll learn some science. Horse porn. Teacher, what's horse porn?
I would think by now that anyone who knows this podcast knows
that we're going to talk about horse porn.
I know. And this is the reason why someone else really does need to do a birding podcast besides us. We should not be the only thing out there.
We should not be the only horse porn podcast out there, people.
All right. So this thing showed up. It's like, new bird species discovered in Africa. And like, I saw the photo that was going with the link. And when I glanced at it, I was like, that's a really big bird to suddenly be discovered. Oh, I bet that's just some split species, and I don't really care about that. So I'll read that news story in depth later, and maybe I'll post to it on the Bird Chick page, but whatever. And then I started looking at the picture, because it popped up a couple more times, so I'm like, Zamir, does that picture look photoshopped? Anyway, come to find out, it was a fake bird.
Oh.
And the bird was called the new species that was discovered, which I hadn't even read what it was, and had I done that, I would have, like... caught it. It was the Tulliver. So if you click on the video, so 24 hours after this news story broke and there was some irritation going down on birding listservs, there was actually not a new bird that was discovered.
Sure.
And when you play the video, it's like, oh, there was a new bird discovered this week, and it kind of turned out to be fake, and some people were angry, and some people were curious, and some people were just confused. So it was BirdLife South Africa had made this video to raise awareness about vultures, because a lot of vulture species, griffon vultures, several of the old world vulture species are critically endangered, and it's because they're eating meat that has...
pesticides?
No, it's got...
Lead?
It's a toxin. It's something that's used to treat cattle for a disease.
Okay.
And when the cow dies, the vultures eat it, and then they get secondary poisoning. But so as you watch the video, you see all the Photoshop go away, and oh hey, it's an old world vulture, and you just kind of called it a Tulliver to pull the wool over eyes. So people who actually thought a bird had been discovered in Africa and had shared it and looked like.
Idiots.
Tools, yeah, on we're like, oh man. And then some people are like, I would think a scientific organization that wants the respect of the rest of the world would. And it's like, no, I get what they were trying to do. It's perhaps poorly executed. Because they were saying, if this were a colorful bird, you would have paid more attention. But this is a vulture.
I agree with that completely.
So
this reminds me of when you posted that April Fool's Day thing about the parakeet that came back.
Let's not say who originated that.
That's fine.
Okay. I just want to keep that clear. Lay
this
blame, but we can talk about it. We cannot blame the person.
It was an April Fool's Day thing about like an extinct parakeet.
The Carolina parakeet. The
parakeet had been discovered. And for years after that, you were still getting angry posts. Even after you had changed the post, like, this is fake. Like, put up, this is fake.
I put in big bold letters, this
is fake. This is not real.
Every single hot link into it went to a Rickroll.
Yeah. And people were still angry. It's like, you can't.
My absolute favorite thing about that was I had a meeting at the Raptor Center for something else.
Sure.
This was years. I mean, I think even past the 5-year mark that prank had gone up on April Fool's Day.
I would like to point out, I told you not to do this, too.
I didn't care. Because I mean, the first day, I knew people would be disappointed when they figured out that it wasn't true. But I was just like, whatever.
Sure.
If you're angry 5 years after it when it says this is a prank... But no, I went into, I was at this meeting at the Raptor Center, and the executive director was late to the meeting, and she's like, I'm really sorry I'm late, because I got a call from some organization that had heard that someone in Minnesota was reporting a Carolina parakeet, wanted to know if we were doing it, because apparently there's some kind of captive breeding program, and I was like, no, I'm pretty sure this is fake, and I was like, yeah, it's on my website. Yeah. I didn't say anything, but I was just like sitting in the meeting, I was like, oops.
Dark.
But no, I got emails 5 years afterwards from legit nature centers, from like people
I
who
remember.
Are head of interpretation for their particular park. How can we get be part of this captive breeding program? And I thought to myself, it says this is an April Fool's prank in big bold letters when you open up that link.
Oh, dorks.
I don't feel bad for you if you miss the headline that says this is fake.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's a good prank. I stand by it. I stand by that, and I stand by my vote for Jesse Ventura.
All right. Next story, please.
Every Kid in a Park has launched.
Okay, good.
Every Kid in a Park has launched.
Yeah, you mentioned
this
that.
It's a really cool thing. So the idea of Every Kid in the Park is that if you...
You take a kid and you make him live in a park for a year.
You just leave him there.
Yeah.
Leave him some marshmallows.
Raised by bears. Or maybe wolves.
No, so seriously, this is a thing. The idea is with the federal government is that if you have a fourth grader, someone who's going into fourth grade this fall, or if you have a homeschooler who's 10 years old, so therefore fourth grade-ish-ish, you can go to everykidinapark.gov, click a few things, and then you can print out a voucher, and you can take it to any federal park site.
With your kid.
With your kid. The kid has to be there with their printed out voucher. You can't just flash your phone. You have to like have the actual voucher. And that kid gets a pass that gets you into any federal lands for free that charge a fee.
With up to 4 other people.
Basically the kid and their family.
Yeah.
So basically 3 other adults, because any kid that's under 16 gets into a national park for free. So, you know, if you're a family of 5, you'll be fine. And this gets you into parks that charges a fee. The park that I work for is awesome because we don't charge a fee. So you can get us free anytime. We've always been...
Well, let's be honest. Your park's kind of ridiculous. It's a river. So how are you going to keep people out of a river?
Well, my park is ridiculously awesome. I think that's what you mean. But no, places like the Grand Canyon, you won't have to pay a fee to go in. And it's good until the end of August next year. You should do this. I'm just going to say, and you can use this information however you wish, I went to the everykidinapark.gov website to see what it would be like as a fourth grader to go through it. I printed out a voucher.
And you have an Indiana education, so that's impressive.
I know, but it's like, the Park Service can't legally ask me how old I am if I wanted to turn that voucher in and say, yeah, I'm in fourth grade. So I'm just saying. I'm not saying, but I'm saying. I'm saying every kid in a park is a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have ever thought about, it's kind of like getting a passport.
Mm-hmm.
People want to travel, and you'll hear people say all the time, oh, I want to travel. I don't have my passport yet, but when I get my passport, that's when I'm going to go to Europe, or when I go to Europe, I'll get my passport. My advice to people is, whether you have a trip planned or not, get your freaking passport.
Yeah.
Because once you have your passport, you're 10 times more likely to book that trip. Because, like, what if you happen to see a great deal on a flight to London pop up? You know, if you don't have your passport, you're not going to take advantage of that deal because you're going to be worried whether or not your passport's going to show up. So grab your kid. Go to every kid in a park.
By the neck.
Yeah, grab them. It's like, hey, you click these buttons. You click these three things.
Use this computer phone thing.
Get this every kid in a park voucher. And then let's go to the Park Service, or let's go to U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
But it's interesting that you have to print things out. I feel like, you know, I think printers are on there. I think printers are going to become the VCR of the future.
My park has a fax machine.
Oh, sure.
There are times we have to fax.
Oh, no, yeah, faxes. I mean, faxes are still, you know, kind of useful and stuff, but,
When we're off the record and I can't get into any kind of federal trouble, I'll explain to you why they have to print it out, and you'll laugh.
Oh, sure.
You'll laugh, but there's a valid reason why they have to print it out, and they need to bring it in. But also, I think that's kind of important, because, so if someone is buying the annual pass, which is $80 a year, so basically the pass that your kid is getting is an $80 value. And then there's a senior pass, which, in case you didn't know this, if you're over 62, you qualify for a senior pass, and that gets you into any national park, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Land Management site for free. It's a good deal. It's good for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the military pass, which is free, and the access pass, which is a disability pass, which is also free. But there's something, so like this little kid goes through steps online and then prints this out, and then instead of handing me $80, is handing me this voucher. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of taking responsibility and like, yes, I'm doing this and I'm going this. So anyway.
So that's launched. Good.
It's a good deal. It started September 1st. I highly recommend if you have a kid that qualifies, if you have a kid in the age range, that you should do every kid in a park. It's pretty darn cool.
Yeah. It's awesome. All right. What else we got?
Okay. I would just link to something. I don't know if you actually watched this video this week, but it is a penguin that is walking down some rocks. And it mistakes a sleeping seal.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It's hilarious. So watch that.
That's very funny.
Hey, I'm going to be doing some traveling. As a matter of fact, before we do the next podcast, I will have been to the Midwest Birding Symposium.
Okay.
I will be there next weekend. If you are going to be at the Midwest Birding Symposium, please come up and say hi.
Hi.
Tell me how much you like non-birding Bill, because that's what people do whenever I go to bird there, festivals. He won't be there, but you can be sure and tell me how much you like him, and I will come home and tell him, damn it, I went to another bird festival, and everybody wanted to know if they could meet you.
I kind of feel like I'm Raven to your, who's the guy that does the hunting show?
In Minnesota Bound with Minnesota Ron Shera.
Ron Shera, I just remember him talking about, like...
Tell that story.
No, it's just like, we went to an event, and he was there. He was a special guest, he was a speaker. And because I was there with you, we got to sit at, like, the table with him.
We got to sit at the fancy table.
And he was a very charismatic guy, very funny, told a bunch of stories. And I think everybody else there was sort of in awe of him. And, oh, Mr. Scherer, oh, great story, Mr. Scherer. That's fascinating. And I, you know, I just saw him as this guy that was on TV. So I was just, like, shooting the shit with him. It was like, I think he found that strangely refreshing, you know, my perception of that. But the thing he brought up is that people keep asking him about the dog. He has this very charismatic hunting. Is Labrador, is it?
Black Lab
that he goes hunting with.
It's probably on, like, Raven.
Sure, but, I mean, it's his dog. But it's you know, you always see the dog. And so people just keep asking about the dog, who is just this hunting dog, and I'm sure he loves the dog, but it's just like people ask about Raven's, if Raven's fine, he's like asking him questions. So I kind of feel like that I'm Raven in this relationship, is that I don't actually do anything except show up and you do all the work, but people keep asking you about me.
Well, it's because you stand in front of the microphone with your tongue out, you know, and I scratch you behind your ear, and
I have fleas, yeah.
You know, it was a little bit like that back when we had Cinnamon.
Mm.
And for people who don't know the podcast or don't know the background, one of the ways that I got my freelancing foot in the door was we had a website called Disapproving Rabbits. And it was a book.
Yep.
And so a lot of people remember me from that.
Yep.
And it still comes up from time to time. You can still buy Disapproving Rabbits merchandise. You can, which I might actually buy. You can buy Disapproving Rabbits leggings.
Awesome.
But But anyway, when we had cinnamon, people would be like, how cinnamon? And on my personal page, and I think if you follow me on Instagram, you will see a lot of pictures of our rabbit, Dougal. So people will ask about, as they call him, Dougal, which is fine.
It's a weird name.
It's a weird name. It's an Irish
name. But anyway, so you're going to be at the Midwest Birding Symposium. Are you going to be giving talks and workshops?
I feel really bad because I have talks scheduled, and I have a list. So if you book me as a speaker, I send you a list of topics that I have ready to go.
Sure.
And so it's usually a mix up. I have a feeling I'm doing something about digiscoping.
Great. Really prepared there, Siler.
No, I can.
Are you even sure that you're appearing at this event?
All right. I just actually went to the website. I'm doing smartphone birding at the Midwest Birding Symposium.
Okay.
Which is really cool because I will be telling you about fun birding. It's a combination of digiscoping and birding apps that you can use to help your bird watching.
All right.
It's never the same. So if you saw this last year, I will be talking about new apps because this is a program I always have to update before every festival.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'm doing a lot of events in the coming months. I'll be doing the Georgia Ornithological Society's fall meeting at Jekyll Island in the first weekend in October.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Minneapolis in October, I'll be doing the Big Sit.
Where are you doing that?
At Coldwater Spring. I'll be doing that as a park ranger.
Okay.
I still have space on my Rio Grande Valley Bird Tour, so if you're finding yourself with some leftover holiday time before the end of the year and you want to do some Texas bird watching,
hot and spicy.
Caliente.
Yep.
I'll be doing it with Greg Miller of Big Year fame. Greg Miller, if you aren't sure, was played by Jack Black in the Big Year movie.
And vice versa.
If you have not read the Big Year book, it is a very good book. I'm not sure if it's an audiobook, because I actually read that book. I didn't do it as an audiobook. Well, I'm
probably sure it is.
No, you'd be surprised how few birding books are audiobooks. Right. You know, if we wanted, I could get the rights to King Bird Highway fairly easily.
I don't particularly want that, although I enjoyed the book.
No, but I mean, if we wanted to start like a...
Why are you saying we?
You're a freelancer.
Yeah, no. All right, so those are what are the programs you have coming up?
Okay, yeah, so anyway... If you would like to go birding in the Rio Grande Valley and hang with me and drink, come with us on the Rio Grande Valley Birding Tour. It is right after the Rio Grande Valley Bird Festival in November.
Okay.
Other things that I have coming up, I'm going to be going to the... Oh, I'm excited. This is a new bird festival. The Laredo Birding Festival in Laredo, Texas in February.
So you're going to walk down the streets of Laredo. Too subtle. All right.
I'm doing the Smothers Brothers version.
Very softly. Far too softly for this podcast.
Oh, really? I cannot be Tommy Smothers because he sang that beautifully.
Yeah.
Then, if you would like to go out of the country with me and try and get a Quetzal, because I am lacking a Quetzal. I've seen the shadow of a Quetzal, and I have
heard love that series of fantasy novels, by the way.
The Shadow of the Quetzal. Yeah. I should write that.
You should.
I actually want to write a birding romance novel. Birding erotica.
50 Shades of Grey Pigeon.
No, it'd be 50 Shades of Brown.
Yeah.
Because it would be all about sparrows
and butt stuff.
And butt stuff. How did we get here?
We're tired and drunk.
I'm not drunk.
What other...
That's
only something a drunk would say.
No. I'm not tired.
All right, so...
You're not letting me talk about my Quetzale show. You suddenly took it to butt stuff, which we
turning into a political... Will you let me talk? Will you let me talk, Sarah? Please. Sorry, continue, please, with your announcements.
I have space of it. I'm trying to earn a living here. I'm trying to, like, advertise these birding tours that you're not going to go on, which, if you went on, people would probably sign up for because, non-birding bills.
If I got a free... I would probably take a free trip out of the country, provided I didn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
You would have to look at some birds if you went with us to Honduras, which is the trip I'm trying to talk about.
Okay.
You would see... Look, there's a Quetzal. You're only seeing part of the Quetzal. That's its tail above its head.
Well, that's just ridiculous.
But the tail is actually as long as I am.
Yeah.
Not as wide, but definitely as long as I am.
Okay. Well, that's not saying a lot, really. I mean, you're pretty short.
I'm 5 foot. That's an impressive tail if you're a bird. Anyway, we would go to Pico Bonito. It's a wonderful place.
Cool.
Pico Bonito National Park is 270,000 acres of tropical rainforest.
Great.
We could possibly see jaguars. Or, I'm sorry, jaguar. We could see that.
Jaguars.
And maybe pumas.
Pumas?
They hunt in crevices.
Do they have crevices?
Yeah. All
right, what else do you got going on?
Other things that I want to talk about that I'm doing, because apparently I've mentioned this festival to other people, even though it's next May, other people are interested in going, is the Kashimak Bay Shorebird Festival in Alaska. I'm going to be the keynote speaker there. I'm super excited because I've not been to Alaska before, and I've always wanted to go.
I just want to say, I always remember, like, when you were starting this, this little birding thing that she does on the side. You know, so cute that you have a hobby. That you were just, you know, you were happy to be there, and you always sort of wondered when you were going to do, you know, you knew, saw keynotes as the next step, and now you're doing them, and I'm just very proud of you.
Aww, that's really sweet. And I just want to say, and I'm not saying this as a drunk person, I'm saying this, I'm actually quite sober. I'm to the point now with my career that I know how to do things.
Sure.
I have absolutely nothing to prove.
Sure.
And I either work on things that sound fun or I don't. I feel good about where my career is. I see people up and coming. Mm-hmm. If you are someone who is trying to remotely do what I do, please don't hesitate to contact me. No, if you are someone, drop me an email. I'm dead serious, because I just remember when I started and I would see people doing what I do and I'm like, how the heck did they do this? Or maybe you started to do some of it and you kind of hit a brick wall. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're someone who is, you know, an accountant and all you've ever done is an accountant type business, I can't help you there. But if you're someone who has kind of a naturalist background and you're trying to figure out, how do I lead tours? How do I do this? Just drop me an email. I can't guarantee that I'll answer right away. I can't guarantee that I'm going to be your best friend or anything like that. But I want to be able to give advice to you. If you see me at a bird festival and you're like, I would like to do the kinds of things that you do, never hesitate to ask me, because I think in some ways when I started and I met people who mm-hmm. did what I wanted to do, sometimes I came off as threatening and they didn't want to tell me.
Sure.
And I don't want to be that person.
Well, you used to carry that knife around. I mean,
that's true. But I just want, if someone is young out there and like, I want to do this whole website thing, I want to do this writing thing, mm-hmm. I want to lead tours, I don't want someone to feel like, oh, I can't ask Sharon because she's probably...
You're going to be horning in on her business.
Yeah, and you're not. You're not.
Right.
It's just silly. There's enough for everybody out there that's working. And I shouldn't be the only birding game out there. I'm not. But, I mean, it shouldn't... Whatever you see as being the birding world now, if you're some young 20-something... Oh, God. I'm asking a lot if I'm thinking a young 20-something is listening to this podcast. But, no, seriously. If you're looking at this and you're like, wow, I would like to... do X, Y, and Z. I would maybe want to be president of the American Birding Association someday, or I would want to be a speaker, or I would want to write. Talk to me. If I can't help you, maybe I know people who can.
Okay.
I feel very grateful about where I am in my career, that I want to pay it forward, and I want to help other people do what I do.
That was a great movie.
What? Pay it forward? It was not a great movie. And if you think it was a great movie, don't. I don't know what to say.
Then I can't help you.
I'm going to a shorebird festival in Homer, Alaska that I can't pronounce. I'm also going to be at the Biggest Week in May of next year, and I'm also going to be at the Acadia Bird Festival in Maine, which I'm super excited about because I'm going to eat all the lobster and look at puffins and hang out with Jim Rumpel.
Now all of this information is on the appearances page of birdchick.com,
which is
correct?
Now I think called tours and appearances.
Okay,
but
great.
Yeah, you can look at it there, and if you can't tell, I use promoting events that I'm in as means to for booking me for the podcast. So if you book me for a podcast, I talk about you in my thing. So that's all I have to talk about right now. It's fall migration, people. You should really get out there. I mean, my goodness, last week we had a crazy day at Hawk Ridge. Hawk Ridge had a day where they had over 90,000 non-raptors fly over the ridge. Hmm. And that same day, they had this crazy amount of nighthawks. I want to say they had 50,000 common nighthawks fly over. And Hawk Ridge is about 2.5 hours north of where we live. The day they had that crazy number was the day I came home after a rather rough park service day and sat on the roof of our building and had some tequila and a salad and had about 600 common nighthawks fly over our... And it wasn't a thing of it was 300 common nighthawks, and I was seeing double. No, I was like, wow, that's a lot of nighthawks. I should maybe count. And then when I got to like the 600 mark, I was like, I should maybe get my clicker. Yeah. And a salad, because I'm going to be here a while. And yeah, in 2 hours, I had like 600 Nighthawks. So
awesome.
Enjoy fall migration. Birdcast is a great thing to follow. Check your radar maps at night. Remember, if it's not green, if it's showing up blue, those are birds. Those are not storms. Yeah. Like what's starting to show up outside our apartment, so we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, this is Bird Chick Podcast number 192. If you have any questions for Sharon, you can reach her on Twitter, where she is at birdchick. You can email her. She is Sharon at birdchick.com. You can talk to her on her website, or you can find her on Facebook.
If you send me an email, it's really better to email me. Please don't send me a message from the Bird Chick page on Facebook, because the way Facebook is set up, I don't see those messages right away.
All right, so take care, and we will be back soon.